Talking today with Don Close from Rabo Agrifinance. And Don, a couple of things. Let's talk first of all about a study just released by your organization looking at the U.S. and our potential supply of feeder cattle that we've gotten down through the years from Mexico. Clearly, they've had drought much like we've had in the southern U.S., and they've got their own problems, and that's reflected in your study.
Absolutely, it's reflected in the study. If you look at that shipment of cattle over the last number of years, we're averaging just over a million head a year. We spiked that number in 2011 at 1.45 million, and it was entirely, while price was certainly attractive, the severity of the drought we had in Central and South Texas was every bit as bad or worse in northern Mexico. So it was a weather-induced liquidation.
So let's talk a little bit about in recent years, it seems like we've almost bailed ourselves out, at least partially, with a pretty good supply of cattle coming up across the border that's come into our feedlots and eventually into our slaughter supply. We're about ready to run out of cattle in Mexico, what we're hearing.
You're absolutely correct. If you look at, if you go back as deep as the 1980s, the U.S. would typically get 5% of the Mexican calf crop. And really, that shipment was really nothing more than a residual of the Mexico market. And as time has gone by, they've become an increasingly sophisticated supplier and a very needed supplier network to the U.S. and certainly the Southern Plains cattle feeding industry. As we currently finished up 2012, basically 10% of the cattle and feed supply in the U.S., total U.S., would be Mexican origin. And if you look specifically because of the freight advantages of the three-state TCFA area and Arizona and California, we've jumped up to as high as 25-27% of the total cattle on feed in that five-state area of being Mexican import, offset with Mexican import numbers.
That's a lot of capacity.
That's a lot of cattle. And if you know, we've had so much discussion of the contracting U.S. cattle supply, the drought impact, the economic impact, the cattle inventory report released just a week ago. So if you take the lowest cattle numbers we've had since the calf crop since 1948 and add that share of Mexican cattle, we're looking at some very serious contraction of available supplies.
And so, really what's going to be available the next year or two from old Mexico?
If you look at historically, the long-term historical, there's a very easily identifiable pattern of a 5 to 6 year cycle spike in shipments from Mexico. And typically what we see when those occurrences, primarily those spikes are caused by drought. But they've also been caused by disruptions, just overall high supply in the U.S. attracting numbers. We've also seen years when those spikes occurred from huge imbalances in the U.S. dollar-peso relationship that made the cattle more valuable in the United States. But regardless of the incentive, those spike years purge that system so deeply that it typically takes from 3 to 4 years to see any kind of opportunity for recovery. One thing that is substantially different this time than what we've seen in the past, historically, those shipments of Mexican cattle was as high as 90% steers. And specifically in the last 2 years, we've seen a dramatic spike in the percentage of heifers in that shipment mix. That we were 17% heifers in 2011, and we jumped up to 27% heifers in the total Mexican mix in 2012. So with those replacement heifers stripped out of that Mexican inventory, that's the real indicator that, they're just simply totally depleting their machine to rebuild any numbers. So the drop in decline in numbers this time will probably be more disruptive than the historical pattern.
And so the bottom line is that one of those ways that we were shoring up supplies to this point in the United States, we just simply cannot rely on that 2013, 2014, maybe in 2015.
Exactly. Say, as I said earlier, you know, that number spiked in 2011 at 1.45 million head. If you take that historical decline in shipments in post-spike years, just the history of that would imply just under a million head for this year, basically 750,000 head for 2014, and then between 500, half a million and 600,000 in 2014. So from a historical perspective, we're looking at a minimum of 3 years without any implications from this heifer issue that we've already talked about. So it's going to be several years.
So for 13, 14, 15 of the years, we're really looking at those tight supplies.
That's where we're concentrating the observation.
Beyond the Mexican cattle situation, you alluded to the cattle inventory numbers. Your overall thoughts about, you know, did you see anything just that jumped out at you that said, you know, you kind of just said, huh?
Yes, and clearly there were enough revisions from the 2011 numbers that particular report really took some observations. That, okay, what's the net change that we're looking at? My initial reaction, it was just so disheartening to continue to see the contraction in total numbers. And, you know, that we've got to stabilize these numbers and we've got to see some regrowth in the industry. But the surprising factor was, and the unexpected surprise was, industry averages going into the report were looking for a net decline of heifer retention, and we came in there with like the 2.5% of beef heifer retention. So that's clearly the sweet note of that report, that economic signal to the cow-calf sector clearly got into the cow-calf guys. You know, the desire and economic motivation is there, just we're still hamstrung by the cooperation of Mother Nature.
Right. One thing I've heard from, and at this meeting, in fact, I've heard that hadn't really thought a whole lot before. You know, we've obviously really been very concerned about the contraction of mama cows. But once we get past this drought and we're able to start doing some rebuilding, several folks have indicated to me that they've flushed a lot of cows that they've liquidated, or they've actually got some, you know, in effect they've got some of these high-tech ways of maybe fairly quickly getting their genetics back online, even with some lesser quality cows.
I think that's a great point. And just to think through what possibilities that provides is mind-boggling. But I think the bottom line of what you're saying is not only will it give us a leg up in recovery of total numbers and split-sex semen and all the technology that we have, but without a shadow of a doubt, when we rebuild this cow herd, the overall strength of the genetic pool is going to be substantially better than anything we've had to work with in the past.
Don Close with Rabo AgriFinance talking with us at the Cattle Industry Convention 2013 here in Tampa, Florida. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.